Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
Monster Movie Media presents...
Welcome yourself to Creepy Kingdom, a podcast all about the spookiness of Disney and beyond. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, Josh Taylor from the World That Never Was podcast joins us as we take a look back at the first season of his groundbreaking Disney docu-podcast. is that a new phrase? Docu-podcast? And a little preview of the upcoming season, which has a lot of creepy fun sprinkled all throughout. And in a Creepy Kingdom exclusive, Josh will announce what two of the episodes of the upcoming season will be. If you are listening to this on the day of release, March 10th, then you have just mere hours left to enter our contest to win a $25 Disney gift card simply by filling out a listener survey. Thank you to everyone that has done it so far. It's been so amazing to get the feedback, and we'll have some announcements what we're going to do with that feedback pretty soon. But like I said, you have until midnight tonight, Pacific Standard Time. Fill out the survey, get entered to win a $25 gift card, which we'll announce the winner on that on an upcoming episode. So all good stuff. Another thing I'd like to add before we get started is something that we decided to do as a result of the survey results that have already come in, is that we have started a weekly newsletter. This newsletter will consist of the podcast episode, show notes, links to our articles, the videos, everything that we released within a week, bam, right to your inbox. You can fill out the survey and join the mailing list by going to creepykingdom.com. Both are in the menu, easy to find. Good times ahead. So now, without any further ado,
let's begin.
Alrighty, I'm here with Josh Taylor. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Lovely. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's always nice to hear your lovely voice.
My lovely, sweet voice. No, thank you. I am proud of my voice. It is lovely. It is a California made voice. So,
right.
So I'm proud of it. But anyways, I'm bringing you on here to talk about, you know, this project you have going on. So, but we got to take a few steps back before we get there.
Sure.
In case people aren't familiar, you're from Modern Mouse Radio and now Network 1901. Why don't you tell listeners a little bit about both those things?
Yeah. So Modern Mouse Radio, the blog and the podcast started back. Oh, geez. I want to say like 2011 was the blog. 2012 was the podcast. And the idea eventually really became, and what the show is now is looking at kind of how the real world correlates with Disney and how Disney reacts to the real world. So we talk a lot about social issues and politics and things like that that involve Disney in some way. So like, you know, recently we talked about the LGBT community and their relationship with Disney. We've talked about Disney princesses and if they're role models for young women, why or why not, things like that. And then when I started Network 1901, I got together with a couple of friends who also had Disney podcasts, and we decided to do something really different in the way of taking everything that we'd done, kind of throwing it out the window and saying, well, we'll start this new podcast feed called Network 1901, and it'll have three podcasts you can listen to a week. So on Mondays, you get the Disney Culture Club now. On Wednesdays, you get my show, Modern Mouse Radio. And then we have on Fridays, we have all these different mini series that change. Right now, it's Discovering Star Wars, which is a show about Dale hosting it, and his friend Andrew had never seen any of the Star Wars films, and he's a film student.
Wow.
And they go through each episode of Star Wars, so all seven that are out right now, and then they did Rogue One, and they kind of studied them, and you get kind of a fresh perspective as Andrew's seen it for the first time. We also do Explain This Book to Me, where Shannon hosts it. She reads a book and then explains the book, and it's usually some kind of Disney related book. Like right now she's doing all of the Lunar Chronicles books, which are kind of like sci-fi steampunk meets Disney princesses.
Is that a Disney thing? I never heard of it before.
Lunar Chronicles is not, but all of the stories are loosely based on what we define the Disney princesses as. So, right. Okay. Like there's so many different variants on Snow White, but I think when the author wrote them, she kind of envisioned people would probably think of the Disney Snow White. And then my show, which is now going into its second season that we're doing, is called The World That Never Was. And The World That Never Was is a 6-episode look at something that Disney never built for their theme parks, but had plans to, and why that is. And sometimes it involves money, but other times it involves death. It involves politics. It involves social issues. It can be a ton of different ideas. So the first season came out in the fall, and I did a bunch of different things there. And then the next season comes out in just a few weeks.
Wow, awesome. Well, we're definitely going to get into that, of course. But taking a little bit step back to your theme of Modern Mouse Radio, which does tie in to The World That Never Was as well, is you're talking about the real world meets fantasy kind of thing, and right. what are the consequences of that. I think what's interesting is I think a lot of people and adults that still gravitate towards Disney, whether the theme parks or the films, are kind of because they don't want to deal with the real world, right? But you kind of like, you're like, I'm still going to deal with Disney and the real world. You know, what inspired you to kind of go the opposite direction from most people?
Well, I used to play in a punk rock band. And I did so for pretty much a decade, from when I was 18 to basically when I was, I think the last time I played a live concert was when I was 27. So, and almost a decade there. And my thoughts and ideas always went in with a punk band anyway, to be kind of socially aware, politically aware. And, back when I was 18, we used to have band practice at a friend's house. Mm-hmm. And his dad fought in Vietnam.
Wow.
And so we always had, I would show up to band practice early, literally just to talk to his dad. And we would have conversations about politics and war and social issues and kind of getting his look at it. And so when I started Modern Mouse Radio, the first couple of episodes definitely didn't have like a, or even like I would say the first 50 episodes of the series. I had a co-host. A lot of people know Keith Lapinig. He was a co-host, still a good friend of mine. But when he started working for Disney and started doing some other things with his career, he could no longer do Modern Mouse Radio. And so I thought the easiest way for my brain to connect to Disney was to bring in some of the social and political things. And nobody that I knew of anyway in the Disney realm of podcasters and bloggers and YouTubers were really talking about the ideas that Disney, you know, still has to deal with real world problems, even though they're creating the fantasy for people to forget about the real world. So when I think about where I, you know, wanted to take the show, I thought about, well, what does Disney have to deal with? What does the consumer or the customer or guest have to deal with? And then what does the rest of the world, or how does the rest of the world get impacted by those decisions or by Disney's decisions, and vice versa? And the show's been running. We'll be coming up on our 5th anniversary this September.
Wow.
Of doing a weekly show. And I still love it. And I still love talking about all that stuff. And it keeps me informed, having to research and still keep up with what's going on at Disney.
Wow. So that's 5 years in Disney podcast years. That's like, 50 years?
Yeah, yeah. I've been around quite a while.
That's awesome. Yeah, we just passed our 3-year anniversary. So so hats off to keeping it going for 5 years. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's very few people that I talked to when I first started that are still doing it. So there's a very smaller and smaller club of us every year that continue to do it. And there's still guys that that I talked to that started in like 2007, 2008 that are still doing it. And I talk to them and I look up to them. So it's always interesting. Like, you know, people are just starting and asking me questions. And, you know, then I'm asking people who have been doing it for 10 years and asking them questions. So there's always that kind of thing going on.
The circle of podcasting life, if you will.
Yeah, it has to go to one person somewhere,
right?
You know, it's not me. The buck doesn't stop at me,
right? Pay it forward, of course. So I had the pleasure of being on your show 2 times.
Yeah, twice,
I believe. Yeah. I know it was at least 2 times, but two very interesting topics. You had me on to do an episode, kind of armchair imagineering about Halloween events at Disney California Adventure.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. And I know that it also I kind of had very similar discussions that kind of stemmed from that seed that was planted during that episode on this show as well. just more like Disney Halloween or just the,
yeah, that kind doing of thing. Those. That's one of the recurring things that we do, that we get away from politics and social stuff. You know, we like to bring people on the show and do armchair imagineering. And we take a topic or we take a specific place or whatever. And yeah, when you came on the show, we did Halloween at California Adventure, because Disneyland gets all this cool Halloween stuff, and California Adventure seemingly gets none of it. And so we thought up all these cool ideas. And yeah, this isn't the first time I've heard this, that somebody took their ideas or some of the things that they had to think about. Because it's funny asking people to be on my show for doing Armchair Imagineers. It's not really a guest spot like you might consider, like, you know, like when people go on like The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and they're a guest, they basically just tell stories and they get to be themselves.
Right.
And for me, it's like, hey, do you want to be on the show? Yeah, sure. Great. Okay, cool. Here's the homework that you have to do before you come onto the show. But it gets everybody thinking in a way that they may not necessarily think. And I think that's cool that you took it and ran with it in your own show. Because you had some great ideas. That was a fun episode that we did.
Yeah, no, that was a blast. I mean, I think it wasn't the exact ideas I took from that episode, but just the concept of which the idea popped in my head is that, you know, Universal has Halloween Horror Nights and they create these temporary walkthrough attractions based on, for the most part, IPs that people love and enjoy. And they're so incredible. And it's so shocking that they're temporary. And I always thought, if Disney did something like that, they could make them absolutely incredible. And I would love to be able to walk through environments from Disney films. I know that they're kind of shy away from doing haunts that scare people, but even it doesn't, you don't have to have scare actors in there. You could still create that experience. And I know that in Disneyland, Hong Kong Disneyland, that this past Halloween, they had something like that as, we had our friends Grant and Brittany visit and tell us firsthand about it. And I was called a nightmare experiment where it was got to go through all these scary parts through Disney films. And
yeah,
I wish that they would have something like that at the stateside parks. So I know that on a few shows we've kind of armchair imagineered what those would be like because I think it'd be amazing.
That would be a lot of fun. I have seen the footage that you're talking about, and mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a cool concept. And I think that what they did in China was maybe experimented, you know, nightmare experiments, but they experimented with the possibility of would our guests enjoy this kind of thing. And I hope that you know, this year now for Halloween, we look at not only Shanghai or Hong Kong bringing that back, but maybe it goes to Tokyo or maybe to the Paris park to try it out there. And hopefully it continues to grow and it'll eventually come here to the States, you know, at Disneyland or at Walt Disney World. You know, don't give your hopes up. I think it's quite possible, especially at a place like California Adventure or like the Hollywood Studios park.
Right. Yeah.
It's very much possible.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be at the Disneyland style parks, but we'll see. But the other aspect of why I don't think it's going to happen is that very little changes are made to Mickey's Not So Scary and Mickey's Halloween Party every year, yet they're constantly selling out all the dates.
Right.
So they don't feel like there's a demand for change. My timer went off. Excuse me.
Yeah, maybe not necessarily. And especially, like you said, with the Magic Kingdom Disneyland-style parks, they kind of have a great setup as it is already. You know, they're selling out, they're making their money, they don't need to change those. But a park like Disney's Hollywood Studios, which has nothing going on for Halloween, could benefit from something like that. Even if it's something that they try once and it fails, at least they try it. And I think the proving ground was in China. And the possibility is there. I don't know. I'm just spitballing, but
sure.
I'm hopeful. I think there's more and more Halloween stuff to come, especially since I feel really that the Halloween stuff does better than the Christmas stuff, in my humble opinion.
I have no idea. I mean, I've never gone to Mickey's or whatever it's called, the Christmas party in Walt Disney World. But yeah. In Disneyland, I mean, it's not a separate event. They just... It just looks
yeah,
like
just a part of the everyday.
Just looks like Christmas threw up everywhere on November 1st, like overnight.
Should, you know, yeah, right out the day after. But it should prove to you that the money is more in the Halloween party than in the Christmas party.
That's
because
true.
They've yet to bring it over to Disneyland. You know, being able to bring out all the villains and do like the cadaver Dan thing and whatnot. it does sell tickets at Disneyland. People are willing to see that parade. People are willing to pay money to see, you know, the Haunted Mansion maybe be a little bit spookier than normal. They're willing to pay to see different villains to get their picture taken, because nobody's paying $80 for candy, you know, like, and there are a lot of adults. there are a lot of adults that go. And so I think that that's something that I think they can make money on in continuing years is Halloween. And how do they expand that? Well, if you take some of the other parks and expand it into that and have their own thing going on, that's very different from what Disneyland or Magic Kingdom have going on. It's possible. Again, speculation, but I'm hopeful.
Right. Well, let's hope. But so the other time I was on, which we don't need to get too deep into, it was very, very, very controversial topic here. We talked about Song of the South, which I was, you asked me to be on. I actually have no idea why you asked me to be on, but I do. I am one of the few people that have seen it. So,
I asked you to be on that show. Because this is the second time you've been on the show, and I felt comfortable having you on the show. Same like on that show, Keith Gluck, who'd been a former guest as well, but it was for our episode 100. And I thought, like, what is something that I can talk about that nobody really wants to talk about? It's controversial. It's something that would be good for an episode 100 kind of show.
Right.
And so Song of the South was the one that I just kind of landed on. And I wanted to talk to you. I know that you'd seen it. I'd seen it. Keith had seen it. And we talked about whether or not, you know, it was a movie that needed to be banned, or because Disney's banned it, you know, like nobody else has. Disney is the only one that's saying, no, we don't want to show anybody this. And so was it right on their part to do that? Or should it be something that the rest of the world should see or could see? And why? And it became, I think that show ended up being over an hour. And normally my shows go like 45 minutes at the most, but there was so much that we talked about and so much examination that we kind of all came to this conclusion that, like, no, Disney's in the right place to keep it in the vault. Even though that means, you know, that there's this kind of like weird mystery about it. But that was such a fun conversation. And I did get a lot of people who tweeted at me or emailed me or whatever and talking about it, because it was something that none of the other Disney podcasts or even, you know, film podcasts or any other podcasts are really touching, just because your opinion has to go either left or right on that kind of subject. You can't really ride the line. Talking about race or politics or social stuff like that. And so I think people are afraid to touch it. But I was glad that you came on that show, because you weren't afraid to touch it. And that's why I had you on that show.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, it's not really the kind of thing that I want to talk about on Creepy Kingdom. But
sure.
But me as a person, I certainly have an opinion about it. So I was happy to talk about it. And so you could, I'm not sure what episode the armchair was, but you know, the Song of the South one was 100.
Yeah. I want to say, the Armchair Imagineer show had to be in the 70s or 80s, somewhere around there. But yeah, I'm sure people can look it up, and I'm not exactly offhand, but I'll always remember that episode 100 was the one that we did, Song of the South. Because that was, to me, that was one of the best shows I've done, partly because of my guests, but partly because it was, a topic that I wanted to talk about and that I thought was meaningful. And we did have a very meaningful conversation, but again, like, you know, this isn't going to be a Song of the South episode.
No, and it's funny, 'cause I actually, just to wrap up this, I've had another podcast that's just like my own podcast, which I literally actually just ended this week, but it was my very first podcast that I would just do periodically over the last 10 years. And it was just whatever I wanted to talk about. And at some point in 2014, I'd obtained an unauthorized copy of Song of the South, because I didn't remember if I saw it as a child or not, because it was released theatrically in 86. And it seemed like I might have seen it because we always saw every Disney movie that came out. But so I ended up watching it on, and then I was like, I don't really want to talk about this on Creepy Kingdom. But I did talk about it on that show. And that show is kind of like an uncensored, wild show. So I felt that it was more appropriate to just say my personal opinion there, because what I'd like to cover on this show, when you say creepy, that's kind of subjective, what does that really mean? And sometimes people think of things that are unintentionally creepy.
Sure.
In regards to Disney. And that's not really what I like to talk about on the show. I like to talk about the artistic, the intended creepiness. That's the way I call it.
That's true. I mean, you could consider Song of the South creepy, but it's not really creepy. It's only creepy to people because of its mystery. And you're not talking about mystery.
Right.
You're talking about, intended artistic, macabre.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah, for sure. So that's because I've gotten some pitches for episodes for certain things. Like, oh, you should cover this because this is really creepy. I'm not even going to say what they were, but, crimes cast members have committed. I'll just say that. And I'm just like, that's not this show.
Right.
We're celebrating art. But speaking of which, anyway, we're never going to celebrate your series, The World Never Was. So it originally was released in the fall. You did about six episodes, and right away you kind of get everyone really hooked, because as far as Disney fan, particularly theme park fans go, there's certain topics that are just like catnip, and the one is like something Disney was going to build but didn't. That's got to be pretty high up there. It's just like, you're like, what is this? There could have been an Epcot in California, when you first come across this information, it's almost like you don't even believe it. You're like, how is this even possible? And then you want to know everything about it, So you took that concept and really ran with it, and you weren't just doing, the quote-unquote typical podcast, which I don't know what a typical podcast is, but you could just say this format's typical of two people talking on Skype.
just a kind of conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's, 90% of the shows probably out there are, two people or like a roundtable discussionary type podcast, sure.
Right, but you didn't do that. What you did was you pretty much made an audio documentary where you did narration, you added music, you did one-on-one interviews, all this stuff. And me as a podcast producer and as a video editor, is my day job. When I heard all that stuff, my first thought was like, oh my god, I cannot believe. I can't even imagine. I mean, how much work probably went into what you did. Now I know there's only six episodes because it must have been very labor intensive.
Yeah, and I knew the only way that I'd be able to do it was because it was six episodes. If I knew that I was going to be doing it weekly for an infinite amount of time, I definitely wouldn't have done it the way I did it. I would have done this, roundtable discussion kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But knowing I had six episodes, I looked into doing it. The first episode came out in September. I think I started my research and interviewing process maybe in like mid to late July.
Oh, wow.
And still, that was not long enough. But by the time the first episode aired, I was still working on episode four. And by the time the sixth episode aired, I was literally finishing all of the editing and everything at 2 a.m. the night before. The morning of. So, I mean, I basically barely made the deadline. So this time around, I knew that I was going to do it in the spring. And I've been kind of researching ever since the first season ended. And now I just started my interview process and everything. And I'll start collecting all of the samples from all these different people before I start putting the story fully together.
Smart move. I mean, we all got to learn the hard way with this stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We're very overly ambitious.
Yeah. I was very ambitious. And there were a couple of times where I was like, I'm not sure I'm taking on, you know, the right thing. And once episode one came out, I was like, well, it doesn't matter anymore. I got to do this. And luckily, you know, the first season went really well and a lot of people liked it. So it made me excited for season two, knowing I could do it. And so now I'm striving to make it bigger and better somehow.
Well, let's take a look back. And so yeah, what were the six episodes that you did in the fall?
The first six in the first season, episode one was about Epcot's African Pavilion, Equatorial Africa. And we talked a bit about apartheid in that episode and talked about, you know, what was going on in Africa in the 1980s and why that never got built. The second episode, we talked about, like you had mentioned before, the West Coast version of Epcot, mm-hmm. and how California Adventure was supposed to be essentially Epcot or Westcott, but never got built. And that was actually because of the community around Anaheim and the local government rising up and kind of protesting against it. The third one being about Animal Kingdom's original entrance idea, or the Genesis Gardens, which was going to have a huge Noah's Ark that you would walk through, and then there'd be kind of this Garden of Eden area at Animal Kingdom before you went towards the Tree of Life. And so we talked about Catholicism and religion, and if that should be, you know, in a theme park or not, especially at Disney. Mm-hmm. Episode four, we talked about Disney's America, which was rumored to go into Virginia. And I mean, they had purchased the land there, and we get into American history. We talk about a bit about slavery and a little bit about like America's darker past and whether or not that would be represented, and you know, kind of the weird circumstance that Disney was in, as if they do or if they do not represent this, and what does that mean. Episode five was about the Muppet Studios that was going to go into Disney's Hollywood Studios, or Disney MGM Studios at the time. They built obviously Muppet Vision 3D, but there were so many other plans that went into there. But because Jim Henson died right in the middle of negotiations, and there was this big dispute between his family and Disney, that completely fell through. The only thing they really got was the Muppet Vision attraction. And then last but not least, we talked about Epcot again and their Israel Pavilion. And then we talked about Islam and Judaism. We talk about the Middle East, and we talk about safety and security and what's going on kind of now in the world, and how we view Middle Eastern people in the U.S. and what that might entail at a Disney theme park.
Controversial topics there all throughout.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. It was not, it was dodging bullets consistently.
Wow. What kind of feedback, is for the controversial aspects of the episode did you get?
The one that I got the most controversial feedback on was actually, the Animal Kingdom, Noah's Ark, Genesis Garden one. There were a lot of people, that were either pro or con the idea and what I talked about and what I kind of brought up, or what the solution may have been, or why they didn't go with that idea, and why you ended up with what they have now, which is the Oasis. But for the most part, the overarching stories I was telling and what was going on and the controversial topics I was talking about ended up getting a lot of positive feedback. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people were saying like, I'd never thought about this. I'd never understood why we never got some of this stuff, and you explaining it. The guests that I had on, the people that I interviewed, weren't Disney people. And I think that was something that was important. I didn't want, people who were jaded. I wanted, people who were, you know, working in churches, or people who, were helping others in Africa, and helping them, you know, find water and food. I talked to people who were Muppets fans, but then I also talked to people who weren't Muppets fans. I talked to people who were American history teachers and colleges. I talked to people about Israel and Islam, you know, talking to people who weren't Islamic, or, and I talked to people that were Islamic. And so I got all these differing factors, and to hopefully try and tell this story about Disney from all these people that weren't in the Disney universe. And then the people that, you know, I would say a majority of my fans that listened to the show were Disney people, and they'd never really thought about it from an outside influence. And it was really cool to see people pick up on these stories and actually think about something besides, you know, what's your favorite Disney attraction and why. It was like, now we're talking about much more serious issues and how it relates back to us and how it relates back to the places that we love going to. And it really opened people's eyes and minds to some interesting topics that they probably wouldn't talk about otherwise.
Right. Or wouldn't talk about amongst, with Disney in mind, I guess.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Cause that's, I mean, with the thing, like I said, it's so interesting on that you take this approach with so many people trying to avoid it when talking about Disney.
Yeah, I'm going head on.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, but again, like I said, I really enjoyed this series, independent of me knowing you or anything like
Thank
that.
You. Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought it was really well done. I was clamoring for more every week. You know, it was a real treat. So, I proudly and promote it on this show just to say, like, you know, I stand behind this because I think it's great. I think any Disney fan that wants to think a little bit out of the box, or wants to be challenged to think out of the box, would really enjoy it. But even independent of that, like we said, like the whole concept of like, or the idea of, oh, I want to know why this thing I heard about never happened, you know? And so let's moving on to season two. You had shared with me a few of the episodes you have coming up that I think Creepy Kingdom listeners would really enjoy, and one of them was an episode that I would love to have done, but I just have never done the full research on it, so I'm gonna have to pass the buck over to you. And that is, of course, you did an episode on Beastly Kingdom, which was a land that was supposed to, or you didn't do it yet, it's coming out soon, that a land that was supposed to be an Animal Kingdom with fictional mythical creatures. And from my understanding, just from, you know, listening and reading things throughout the years, a lot of the concepts that were part of that, they left Animal Kingdom and they ended up in Universal's Islands of Adventure, and in the land where on the Lost Continent, which, but I don't know if you touch on any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely will. So with the first season, I had this kind of like weird idea, and I don't know why I thought this, because I didn't think that there would be a second season. Mm-hmm. And so, but in the first season, I tried to connect episode one to episode six, and there were differing themes that kind of had this overarching story,
right,
between all of the episodes. And like episode one built to episode six so that we could talk about maybe the most controversial thing, which was the Israel. And we, you know, brought in politics and social issues and religion and everything that we'd kind of previously talked about in almost every other episode. And from this season, it was like, okay, how do I connect episode one to six? It was really difficult to think about it. And a lot of people, when I did the first season, they said, one of the things we really want you to talk about, or one of the things we wished you would have talked about, was Beastly Kingdom.
Hmm. So you got requests for that one.
So yeah, I got requests for it. It was actually one of the only ones that I didn't do in season one that I got a request for. So I was like, well, I got to do it. But how, you know, where is it going to go in the lineup? Again, coming from a band, I think a lot about like when you play in a band, one of the things that you think about, and maybe most people that are listeners to music don't think about, it, is if you go to a concert, a band plays music in a specific way. You know, they want to play some fast paced songs, then some slow paced songs, and then back to some fast paced. You don't want to like go crazy and then play all your slow songs at the same time.
Right.
So I wanted to do that here again too. So where did Beastly Kingdom fall into the lineup of all these other episodes? And Beastly Kingdom actually falls at the end. It'll be episode 6. And it's because every other episode will feature things that will end up in the Beastly Kingdom episode, and it will connect extremely strongly to episode 1. And I'm not going to spoil it, and I'm not going to say why, but Beastly Kingdom and episode 1 will be extremely connected.
Have you announced what the episodes are that for season 2, or does that happen week to week?
I'm going to do it week to week. I will tell you, especially because for this podcast for Creepy Kingdom, we're doing Beastly Kingdom. We'll be talking about dragons. We'll be talking about folklore and some of the scarier, darker, weirder kind of folklore from around the world. But then in the middle of the season, we're going to be talking about the Museum of the Weird, which was, you know, initially supposed to be kind of a side attachment to the Haunted Mansion, and that there was going to be all kinds of rumors about the museum. It maybe would have been a restaurant, or it could have been just a walkthrough kind of piece of the Haunted Mansion. But then, you know, eventually it kind of got worked in, and there's a lot of Imagineers that worked on the Haunted Mansion. You know this from doing the Foolish Mortals documentary. There were so many people that worked on the mansion that really became its downfall. At least the Museum of the Weird, that became its downfall.
Yeah, the downfall of the Museum of the Weird, yeah. It sounded like you were saying the Haunted Mansion is its downfall. I was like, what?
No. Yeah, the downfall of the Museum of the Weird was the collective connection of too many people, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen, and something had to go. And Museum of the Weird was one of those things that kind of had to go. Even though there's bits and pieces of it in the mansion, as a whole piece by itself, it got lost in the shuffle.
Right. And one of the things I've said about Haunted Mansion, probably on this show, and I know I've said it to the countless people that I've met as I've been doing the Foolish Mortals, is there's all these, the Haunted Mansion is this perfect mixture of all these different people and incidents and time. And if one thing was, you know, was off, we might not have the perfect masterpiece, you know, cause it's just this collect and a museum in my mind is, and the Museum of the Weird is part of that, you know, like even though it didn't come to be, if that was never developed, by Rolly Crump, then there might be something. Haunted Mansion might have been off, you know.
Right.
So I think it's an important piece of the puzzle, I guess. To you know, because I think you change one person's involvement or one little thing, and we could have a completely different attraction.
Yeah, I mean, we could. The best part about the mansion is that there was so much input from so many different people, because you get a little piece of everybody. At the same time, you lose some stuff along the way, but you know, because of that, it became what we have now, which is a beautiful attraction that's so detailed and so elaborate. But yeah, and that's the fun of the mansion. But I'm going to end up talking about kind of the other side of it, of like, well, what if we would have gotten this, or you know, why did this happen? So it'll be interesting, because my love for the Haunted Mansion will somehow have to seep into that.
Yeah, well, that's interesting you bring that up. From the first season, you seemed to really, you know, barely mention your opinion, you know, and when you did, it was very clear. It wasn't really seeped into the narrative. You would clearly say, well, I think this. So is there a reason that you decided to not really interject that much and just be a reporter, I guess?
Yeah. I think I wanted, and that was part of the idea of doing interviews and kind of seeping them into the narrative of the story. Not to say that I'm shifting my blame of like, you know, hey, yeah, all these controversial topics. Well, they said it, not me. But but that wasn't never my intention. My intention was to try and be as well-rounded as possible. And knowing that some of these conversations for a lot of people is scary. And in this world where we have Facebook, where you can, you know, just unfriend people you don't want to talk to or you know, mute or unfollow or delete people. I didn't want that to happen. I wanted people to look at a piece of art and kind of add their own ideas in, you know, without me telling you exactly what the piece of art is supposed to represent. So, and I'm not saying that like my show is the masterpiece of the century, you know, but it is something that I put a lot of time and effort into and making sure that when I added in my opinion, I added it in, allowing other people to layer on top of it and not for me to tell people what is right and what is wrong. Because in a certain aspect, in a lot of controversial, discussions, people do that and it's a turnoff. And I didn't want to turn people off. I didn't want to turn people away. Even if their opinion isn't my opinion, you know, like I'm not making a show for people who are exactly like me. I want to make a show for people who aren't like me. So that there can be this discussion and that's how things work, right? Like, the best ideas in the world don't come from like-minded people. They come from people who don't think alike in the world. And that's something that, you know, Walt Disney thought a lot of the times. He would put two people who should not work together, and they would come up with the best ideas because you would get a little bit of both and they would hash out the problem so much that eventually they would get the right answer.
Right.
So in this kind of world where we mute people who are different from us that don't have the right opinions, quote unquote, as us, I didn't want that to happen. So I tried to interject as minimalist as possible when talking about that. And when I go in for the second season, I'll do the exact same thing. It'll be hard, just like it was in the first season. It was like, oh, I really want some of these things, or I understand why some of these things didn't get built, but I don't want that to be the narrative. I want the story to be the narrative, and then you decide at the end of whether it was right or wrong for Disney or for the real world or for whatever situation,
right?
So that you can have that discussion with other people.
Well, and I think it's presented that way. So mission accomplished.
Thank you.
So do we have a do you have a date for the second season, or are you still figuring that out?
We're still figuring it out. Discovering Star Wars is got a few more weeks. It's coming to an end on Network 1901. So it's every Friday right now. You can hear that show with Dale and Andrew. Which I recommend. I think that Discovering Star Wars has been a really fun look at a film series that pretty much everyone has seen, and to look at it from fresh eyes, from a new perspective. Explain This Book to Me will be back. They'll be doing the last book in the Lunar Chronicles, which I think is the fourth book. And then my show will come after that. So it'll be a couple of weeks. I'm not sure how long either of those seasons are going to run. So I'm telling people tentatively May, and it should come out in May. I just don't know what week it'll exactly come out, but it's something to look forward to. And I tell people all the time, if you're subscribed to Network 1901, you get the three shows a week regardless. So you'll know when it pops up. But do give the other shows a try, because I think that there's so much fun content and so much different content Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that if you don't like one show, you might like another show. So it might be worth a try. Even if you like some of the stuff I've been talking about, you also might like Explain This Book to Me or Discovering Star Wars, Modern Mouse Radio, which is on Wednesdays, or the Disney Culture Club, which is on Mondays. So you might like all of them. You might like none of them. At least try them.
What is Disney Culture Club focus? What is the focus of that show?
On Monday, our Disney Culture Club is kind of a focus of our initial focus was really to do more of a news show. But now the focus has really come back more on community. So we want to really bring the Disney community together. We talk a lot to different people doing stuff, whether it's podcasts or blogs, videos. Maybe they're selling stuff online that's Disney related. We like to talk to those people, bring them on the show, talk about what they're doing. So if you're into Disney and you're kind of, you know, listening to the same old stuff or you watch the same two or three YouTubers, whatever that you do, you can listen to our show or you can watch it on YouTube and you can discover new people that are selling things on Etsy or doing YouTube or doing podcasts or whatever and kind of see if you might like them as well. And then we're just kind of talking about the community in general and what's going on. Sometimes that's newsworthy. Like we talked a little bit about Beauty and the Beast coming up and how people are or are not on board with LeFou being gay. And we talk about just like some other things that are going on that I think are interesting to Disney listeners in the Disney community. And so that's kind of what it is.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys are all doing a bunch of interesting Disney stuff that, you know, no one else is really doing, and you're paying it forward and helping promote other people. And I think that's great. And it's kind of an extension of what's going on with Foolish Mortals. Is that's particularly Haunted Mansion fandom, but it's really about giving back to the people that love the same thing that you do, theoretically.
Yeah. You know, well, I think there are a lot of people, you know, like that are in this community that don't have an outlet or that, you know, don't think that they can have an outlet, you know, or are too afraid to start a podcast or too afraid to start a blog. But there are people that are within the Disney community that have important perspectives or could say something differently than, you know, this person over here. So yeah, with Foolish Mortals, you've gone out and kind of cherry picked some people who, you know, may or may not have that kind of influence, you know, and have like hundreds of people that listen to your show on a weekly basis or whatever, but they are a person who cares a lot about Disney and who, has a cool story. You know, a lot of people have cool stories. They just don't have that outlet for it. So you're providing that. And then at the same time with our Disney Culture Club show, we're trying to provide that as well.
Very, very cool. All right. So if you're going to search on your podcatcher, it's Network 1901.
Yep.
And you got your website. Network.
Yeah, network1901.com. It's the easiest way to find everything we're doing. All of our social media links are there. And then all of our podcasts and videos are actually formatted to a way that, you know, if you want to listen to every episode of the first season of The World That Never Was, you can. And you can just go to the website and you can click on the six episodes that are there and not have to kind of search through whatever podcatcher you have, which is great as an option too. But if you're using iTunes or whatever, you can go back a couple of months and find those episodes there.
Very, very cool. So we're, you know, well, I guess it's a good time to catch up on the first season if you haven't checked it out yet. And when May rolls around, we're gonna hear about a little Beastly Kingdom, a little Museum of the Weird. And you said you haven't let anyone else know, you know, what episodes are coming. So this is kind of like a Creepy Kingdom exclusive information.
This is definitely an exclusive for sure. Yeah. You're the first person outside of the people that are in the network. You're the first person and your listeners are the first people to know some of the topics and subjects that we're talking about in this coming season.
Very exciting. So this, but you don't know how many you're doing, right? You might do more than six. Is that what you were saying?
I'm just doing six this season.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to try
six.
And keep it to six. But yeah, the first episode on the sixth episode will be Beastly Kingdom, and the first one will connect it somehow.
Alrighty. Well, we're all excited. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, James. I appreciate it.
you would like to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing us, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, check out our videos, articles, links to all of our social media. Everything Creepy Kingdom is waiting for you at creepykingdom.com, including the link to the survey, which you have till midnight tonight on March 10th, if that is indeed the date you are listening to this. And you can sign up for our mailing list to get all those said articles, videos, and show notes directly to your inbox. Just go to creepykingdom.com. Alrighty, well, until next time.
I have a girl now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.